This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome back into the Mark Cox Morning Show on your Wednesday, trying to get your morning off to the right start here. Glad you chose to tune in here. Please pick up the podcast if you can't listen to all 4 hours of the show. We are on 5 to 9 every day here. You can go to wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 971talk.com, you can find them there. You can go to the Odyssey app. If you're on Apple or Spotify, you can download the Mark Cox Morning Show. We try to get it so that you can get each segment, and you can pick that up and get some of the individual segments if that's what you missed out on. Kim St. Ange, Carl Middleman, Sue Thomas in here getting you to work this morning. Kim, is your day getting slowly better after that traffic accident at 4 a.m. this morning?
Yeah, that was not ideal.
Not that you were in it, but you were trapped by it.
Yep. Yeah. Had to take quite the detour.
This was the one out on 270 there near Ladue Road, and then they had one of the on-ramps to 40 eastbound closed, so you had to go all the way to Manchester Road.
You couldn't
go
west or east on 64 from 270 heading south.
Yeah, but that's all cleared up now for the most part, as far as I know. And Sue Thomas will keep you up to date on any more traffic problems you have out of that. We're keeping an eye on the pending government shutdown. We're going to talk more about that this hour with Taylor Riggs, the host of the Big Money Show. It's all having an impact on the markets. The real question is, if what Donald Trump is doing works, it's very short term, and I do believe that's going to be the case. This is just a reaction, an immediate reaction, then you can take it from there. We'll find out what Taylor thinks about the whole thing, the tariff talk, the, yes, I'm going to do tariffs, I'm going to back off tariffs, that sort of thing. Everybody looks at that as some sort of, Donald Trump changing his mind or not being consistent. I think it's all part of the very public negotiating he likes to do, and normally he wins. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. From the last administration he was in charge of to now, but he very often ends up getting what he wants when he does these things. So again, Taylor at 8:35. Coming up, we're going to talk to Eric Shawn. He is an anchor and a reporter for Fox News. He's been covering this Mahmoud Khalil story this morning, who's in court because he, of course, is an anti-Israeli protester. He's here on a green card, a visa. But it's very clear in the law that until you are a permanent citizen, not a permanent resident, but a citizen of the U.S., you are subject to certain restrictions, one of which would be working on behalf of a terrorist organization, which in this case would be Hamas. And he has worn pro-Hamas literature and handed it out at Columbia University. Eric is covering him being in court this morning, a ICE court hearing, which you might have heard Todd Pyra talking about last hour. So we'll get to him at about 8:22. First, though, I want to get to some of our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
The ACLU is defending Mr. Khalil. They say this is a freedom of speech case. I support freedom of speech. How else would we know who the idiots are without freedom of speech?
John Kennedy on this case this morning, and you know his point here is what they're getting him for, what they're talking about here is absolutely positively correct. And we should get more details in just a couple of minutes.
And I think it's insulting that you're trying to test my knowledge of economics and the decisions that this president has made. I now regret giving a question to the Associated Press.
Yeah, that is Caroline Leavitt yesterday in the White House press briefing. She just gives it back to him. And she, last time I checked, did not have a binder in front of her that she needed to read before answering questions.
The whole thing of saying he's going to make Canada the 51st state. What, is he going to go to a war with Canada? It's bad crazy. Sorry.
Speaking of which, that was Claire McCaskill. Trying to make money over on MSNBC by saying outrageous things. She knows Donald Trump does not want Canada as the 51st state, but it is a very good negotiating tactic. Can I just tell you that? Because it gets under their skin.
Our reading and math scores are the worst in the G7 and the G20 in terms of how many dollars we spend to advance our children.
Okay.
Why? Unions.
All right. Kevin O'Leary lighting them up yesterday on CNN in his argument. You know, here we are. We're in the midst of this debate. We've got a bunch of school board elections coming up here shortly. And what's... Kim, this is probably a really easy question for you, but what's my number one issue during these school board elections?
Any candidate that's backed by the NEA is a no-go for you.
That's right, because all you have to do is go to the NEA's website and you can see the values that they hold, and you can read what they are. It's every woke piece of garbage literature that you've ever read, and they want it forced down your children's throats. And to do so, they use their state-level affiliates, like the Missouri NEA and others, to endorse and raise money for a slate of candidates that will impose those beliefs on your school board. They've been doing it, unfortunately, for 30 or 40 years, and they've done it very effectively. And when you get parents who want to speak out, they scream and they do adult-sized temper tantrums. How dare a conservative get on a school board and try to stop us from imposing our wokeness on your children? That's why they hate conservative candidates, period. So, you know, we had Ashley Sturm on and from the Francis Howe District the other day, running with Randy Cook out there. They're having their street signs stolen that they're putting up, their campaign signs, because the left hates them so much. They pose such a threat to this environment. Listen to what O'Leary's saying here. He's absolutely telling the truth over on CNN last night. And Bakari Sellers, who was sitting beside him, was rabidly angry.
Our reading and math scores are the worst in the G7 and the G20 in terms of how many dollars we spend to advance our children.
Okay.
Why? Unions. Unions that keep mediocre teachers in place in every high school in America when we should be firing them. You want to talk about whack as our theme tonight's show? I would like to fire teachers.
Wait.
And I'd like to pay a lot more to the teachers that advance math and reading scores that push our system forward against every G7, G20 country. We have broken the system long ago through unions. And this is very unfair.
But what are those cuts?
Yeah.
Do you think Kevin O'Leary would ever run for president?
I don't know. He'd make a Trump-like candidate if he ever did.
Mm-hmm.
He's
been pretty outspoken.
A businessman's common sense applied to politics, which is what the progressives cannot tolerate. They do not want that. To them, the only answer to everything is bigger government. And if you cut it one iota, you're crushing the hopes and dreams of every American, they'll tell you.
What's disappointing, too, with the unions, with schools, because I've covered so many press conferences with them, as you know, over the years as a reporter, and just all the garbage they push. But the candidates for these school boards, they know that if they can get that stamp of approval, you NEA-backed candidate, that that will appeal to a lot of people on the left, center and left. For us, it's an automatic deterrent, right? But that's the problem, is they will go by their, you know, rules, basically, and push their agenda in order to get that next to their name, hoping that it helps them get elected.
True. Yeah. No, they do that. And we've seen all kinds of evidence of it. And plus, they, by having these elections in the spring with low voter turnout, many times the polling locations are at schools where they've got a built-in voter base right there. They end up packing these school boards. Let's not let them do that this April. Get out and vote if you're a conservative and you want to have a voice on your local school board. All right, quick break. I mentioned we cover that ICE hearing for this Khalil character up at Columbia University. We're going to get to Fox News reporter Eric Shawn coming up.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on. 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
After the break.
The ACLU is defending Mr. Khalil. They say this is a freedom of speech case. I support freedom of speech. How else will we know who the idiots are without freedom of speech? This case is not about freedom of speech. It's about civilized behavior. It's about national security. It's about terrorism. Mr. Khalil is not an American citizen. He's here with a green card. By word and deed, at Columbia, he's shown that he supports Hamas. That's a violation of the Immigration and Naturalization Act, which says you can be deported if you support a terrorist organization.
Yeah, that's Senator Kennedy, of course, explaining what the issues are here for this Mahmoud Khalil, who is going before a ICE hearing this morning. And we have got Eric Shawn with us this morning, who with Fox News, of course, who's covering this story. Eric, thanks for giving me a few minutes.
Hey, of course, no problem. We're down here at federal court for the hearing today.
Yeah, what are we expecting? Is this like an initial appearance, or how do they view these?
Yeah, we don't know if Mahmoud Khalil will be here. He was arrested Saturday night in his Columbia University-owned apartment. He's married to an American. His wife is 8 months pregnant, and he was sent down to Louisiana. So we do not know if he will be here. His lawyers want him to be brought back to New York to have this conference hearing. They say he has a First Amendment right to basically say whatever he wants. The Trump administration, no. They want to send him back to Syria. They say he basically has supported terrorism. He is aligned with Hamas by being a leader of these protests. And, you know, under the law, Secretary of State Marco Rubio has the right to declare someone a threat to the United States foreign policy, adverse to U.S. policy, and has the right to kick him out of the country. That's what this conference will be about.
Let's just say that is ultimately what happens in court. Do we have any idea on the timeline how quickly things could move or he would potentially be deported?
No, we don't, because even if they have a decision that does expel him, you know his attorneys will then appeal that.
True.
So this would be dragged on for a while. But, it's a fascinating case when you see these protests. I've been to these protests. I mean, they call for the destruction of Israel. They actually are pro-Hamas. They praise the Hamas terrorists for October 7th. People, I don't think, they call them pro-Palestinian marches. Yes, some are pro-Palestinian. But I've seen these people, I call it pro-Hamas, pro-terrorist. I mean, you have these people I've seen who say kill the Jews, they should wipe out Israel, they have no right to be there, that's from the river to the sea. And that's all part of this court case, and we'll see what happens in court this morning.
Yeah, so I don't know if you can answer this or not, Eric, but what are the legal experts saying? Has this been done before? Is it going to be a test case, one of those challenges that goes to the Supreme Court?
Well, I think it's a test case for now. For these people, this has been done before. Basically, the administration is relying on a Cold War statute. It's called Section 237 of the Immigration Nationality Act. It says, I'm going to quote it, an alien whose presence or activities in the United States, the Secretary of State has reasonable ground to believe would have potentially serious adverse foreign policy consequences for the United States, is deportable. So this certainly has been used before. Offhand, I don't have a specific case now. It's a decades-old law, but it's interesting that it's being applied now to these this protester and these protesters who are behind some of these university protests.
Yeah, and now we need to find out maybe if there are others who are going to be targeted with the same effort. Have they Holman said anything about that?
Well, the president yesterday said that he thinks all of these people who have taken these positions should be kicked out of the country. We'll see. Amy Greer, who's Khalil's attorney, says he was, quote, chosen as an example to stifle lawful dissent in violation of the First Amendment. So it's going to come down, I think, in some ways to a First Amendment case. But perhaps what the Secretary of State under the law, that can overrule it if the government believes he's adverse to the foreign policy of the country, he could be out.
What time is the actual hearing? When do we expect to know something here?
About 2 hours from now to kick off. So, I expect we probably will not have any type of final decision today, just the arguments, and we'll see what happens.
Very good. Eric Shawn, we appreciate your time. Thank you.
All right, guys. Take care.
You bet. Thank Eric Shawn of Fox News. You seem he anchors one of their weekend shows as well.
Nice.
So,
yeah. Obviously a big fan and supporter of the First Amendment, but I can't go on a plane and say, bomb. I can't do that. I can't go into a movie theater and scream fire.
Yeah,
there's a line.
But I would argue this is not a First Amendment case because he's not a United States citizen. He's an alien.
He's here on a green card.
He's here on a green card. And yes, he married an American, but he is not a citizen of this country. He's here and he has rules that he has to follow. And once he becomes a citizen, he would gain the right to First Amendment protections.
But even if he was a citizen, would this cross the line?
No, that's
the question I think I'm wondering.
I don't know if they've accused him of any violence or not. I mean, I guess that's what
I thought he was calling for, basically the destruction of Jews.
Well, yeah, but I mean physical. Has he attacked anybody, or are they just words? I don't know. I think that's probably what they'll be arguing in court to some extent. We'll see. We'll see if it stands up. Coming up, Taylor Riggs, our friend from the Big Money Show on Fox, with more on what's going on in the markets.
The stock market's gone up and down before. It'll come back. But when we start doing these tariffs somewhere around 1st of April, where everybody's got to be on the same level, people are looking at the stock market like, hey, this is how it's going to continue to be for months and months and months. That's not going to happen. President Trump has put together a smart group of people that understand a lot about the dollar, a lot about foreign currency, all the things that are going on. At the end of the day, it's all going to work out, and it's going to work out better for the United States of America.
That is Senator Tommy Tuberville from the great state of Alabama. I'm going to be visiting them next week. Did you know that?
Yeehaw!
Yeehaw! Got to get to see my good friends that moved to
to Birmingham about 2 years ago, and that's we're looking forward to that trip.
I don't think you are able to say any southern state without having a little bit of an accent. Georgia, well, Alabama.
You have to a little bit. I love my folks that I know that live in the South, so that's just fine. You know, right now what he was talking about though is important because of course the stock market is up, the stock market's down. Everybody's seeing tariffs and they're worried about the potential government shutdown. So we want to get to our friend Taylor Riggs with the Big Money Show on Fox. And Taylor, good morning to you.
Good morning, as always.
Yeah, that was Tommy Tuberville. You know, I told you one time, I think, that I got my Series 7 license and I worked in the financial services industry for a while. And it's expected, right? Every 3 to 4 years, you have what, a 5% correction. Every few years, you have a 10% correction in the market. This is not necessarily one of those moments. This is being impacted because of statements by the president regarding tariffs, probably, and maybe impacted by concerns over the government shutting down?
Yes. You know, I think yes to all of the above, and I would agree with you that healthy, normal corrections are good and needed. Remember, we just had 2 straight years where basically the stock market went straight up. It feels good in the moment, but that's not normal. So yes, every 18 months or so, you need a small correction in the equity market. And yes, sometimes in the economy as well. Recessions are normal parts of business cycles, as painful as they can be. I agree with you, though, that I think the stock market is responding to some of the messaging from the White House. They've been talking a lot about tariffs, and it's been volatile for business leaders to determine tariffs are on one day and they're off another day. And sometimes it's fentanyl and sometimes it's reciprocal tariffs. And what I hear is business leaders are really on board with reciprocal tariffs. That's something that they can get behind, they can understand, they can plan around. The on and the off uncertainty is, I think, what makes the equity market go through some of these gyrations, and it makes it hard for businesses to plan. We are also not hearing a lot about tax cuts. We're starting to hear more about it, but that's all the goodies, right, that can offset any impact if there is any from tariffs. So we do know that if we get through this, continuing resolution bill to avoid a government shutdown, we've heard that will buy us time through September while it takes Congress some time to get through a bill for the tax cuts and hopefully make them permanent. But again, now you're looking at September. We've kind of gotten a timeline from them. And I think business leaders really want tax cuts as soon as possible to really offset any of the uncertainty they may get from these tariff headlines.
Well, they've got to do it by March or the Trump tax cuts expire, right?
The Trump tax cuts expire at the end of the year.
Oh, at the end of the year. For some reason, I was thinking it was sooner than that. I don't know why.
Yeah, so, you know, we have through, you know, if the continuing resolution gets us spending through September, that's giving us a timeline.
Okay.
But unfortunately, in this economic cycle and this political cycle, you have midterms then basically next October, next November.
Okay.
And so it takes time for these tax cuts, as you know, to work their way through the system. So the longer you wait this year to get tax cuts through, the shorter amount of time there is for the benefit of those tax cuts to be felt by the American people as they're going to the polls in the midterm. And unfortunately, this is where we really lose out to China. China is thinking on a timeline of 100 years. We're thinking on a timeline, frankly, of every 2-year political cycle. And that's where, you know, I love democracy. Do not get me wrong. I will never vote for China over America. So pro-America. But this is where we can be, and definitely the stock market can be really short-sighted.
Yes.
But again, it speaks to the eagerness that we all need to feel when we are thinking about the urgency of these tax cuts.
What are the odds, you think, Taylor, of us actually going into a recession? Because isn't the definition of a recession you have to have at least, 3 months where, you know, job numbers are down, consumer spending is down, GDP is, like, I forget what the factors are,
yep.
But I mean, what are the odds that we actually go into one, do you think?
Yeah, you know, I think the technical definition is 2 consecutive quarters of negative GDP. We technically had that a few years ago, but the big think tanks in Washington who determine if it's an actual recession or not actually did not declare that a recession. I'm hearing more and more. The good news is we got inflation coming down a little bit this morning. But you did, on the bad news, get the Atlanta Fed GDP Now survey, which is very, very volatile. But it went from a positive 2.3% GDP growth in the first quarter to a negative 2.8%.
Oh, no.
Again, on uncertainty, on tariffs, on a big slowdown as everyone was ordering their goods to get ahead of tariffs by the end of last year.
Mm-hmm.
So there definitely is some uncertainty. We would need to see two of those real negative quarters back to back this year. Again, as long as recessions aren't big, I mean, I grew up in the era when my recession was 2008,
mm-hmm.
and we lost everything. We lost our home. You know, Americans really, really suffered, and it took us 10 years to even find our way out of that time, right? But normal recessions aren't that big. They are much healthier than that. That was a one-off. So recessions are never good. But if there were to be one, hopefully it would be quick, easy, painless. But I think the jury is definitely still out on that if we were to get a recession this year.
I do have an important question for you. We learned some really big news, and I want to play this soundbite for you and get your reaction.
Because I am expecting this summer. My husband and I are really excited. So I don't know if it's a boy or a girl. I think we're just going to wing it, be super grateful.
You didn't bring a gender reveal kind of thing?
No gender reveal.
Okay,
we'll just
fine.
See whatever God gives us. But also just wanted to say thank you to you guys and the Fox family for being so, what's the right word, appreciative and supportive of me while I focus on my other job, which has been to be a mother,
yeah.
While also allowing me to navigate the new thing that we're doing here, which is called TV. So excited and grateful, and thank you.
Congrats, Taylor, becoming a family of four.
Oh, thank you.
When's your due date?
Yay. I'm due August 1st. And, you know, we're thrilled. I hope to be working all summer. I want to work up until the day that I can, give birth. But we're excited. You know, children are the most special blessing in my life. But as you know, it's hard to navigate a work life and a home life. So I'm excited and anxious all at the same time, but obviously very grateful and grateful to God.
I don't know if you know this, Taylor, but my husband and I are expecting our second, and I'm due August 28th.
So
amazing. Yeah. Congratulations. See,
thank
babies
you.
Everywhere. Babies are the best.
Yep.
The more the merrier.
And it's so fun. We didn't find out with our first. We have a son who's two, and we didn't know if he was a boy or a girl, and it was so fun, and we're planning to do that again and wait, and it sounds like you guys are doing the same thing.
Oh, yes, you are my soul sister. So, oh, I love this. Please keep me posted on your journey. And again, if you end up having a boy or a girl, it is the best surprise. Congratulations.
You too, Taylor.
Yeah,
thanks.
Congrats, Taylor. Thanks for your time today.
Of course. My pleasure.
Yep. Take care. Big Money Show, of course, airing there on the Fox Business Network. Just expanded to 2 hours, I believe. And they will have no shortage of things to talk about coming up today, for sure, on the market. All right. We'll take a quick break here. Coming back, I told you there's a big event going on. The St. Charles County Lincoln Trump Dinner is next weekend. There's still tickets available for that. We're going to talk about that when we come back. Stay tuned. One of my wife's favorite performers there, Carl Middleman. Well done this morning. She's having a birthday, right?
77 for James
Woo!
Taylor.
Man. Now, he usually sits when he plays. If you notice that, he sits on a stool
with an acoustic guitar.
Yeah, so we saw him in concert a couple years ago.
Fantastic
at Hollywood.
Fantastic performer.
Oh, he did a good job. That's my wife's level of a concert, like an acoustic guitar and a
that
singer.
That loud.
Yeah, no louder than that. But anyway, I did see Ann Wilson, I mentioned the other day, of Heart, in a wheelchair, still out there singing because She's apparently not wheelchair bound, but she's got a broken arm or something.
June 12th at the Fabulous Fox.
Maybe she'll be out of the wheelchair by then. Man, we're feeling old, aren't we? Holy cow. Hey, coming up next weekend, by the way, we're looking forward to it. The Lincoln Trump dinner out at the Old Hickory Golf Club for the St. Charles County, out in St. Charles County. And we've got my friend Debbie McFarland on the phone from the Central Committee this morning to talk a little bit more about that. Debbie, how are you?
I'm good. James Taylor was one of my favorites, too, except that he's a flaming lib.
Yeah, except that he's a flaming lib. He didn't talk about any politics when I saw him at the casino a few years ago. The only reason I went is that Hollywood gave us free tickets. And I got to pick from like six concerts, so I let my wife pick, and that's the one she picked. What can you do?
Yeah, I grew up on him. Yeah.
Hey, let's talk about the Lincoln Trump dinner. You guys have got a great lineup of people for next weekend.
We do. We have Mark Smits, you know, the Gold Star father of Marine Lance Corporal Jared Schmidt. Uh-huh. They're going to give a presentation. And David Wassinger, our Lieutenant Governor, Denny Hoskins, our Missouri Secretary of State, our own Nick Schroer and Adam Schnelting will be joining us and speaking to the crowd. Aaron Dorr from Missouri Firearms Coalition, Bill Eigel, nobody knows him.
No.
But anyway, he's going to talk about his run for St. Charles County Executive, Jason Law, who's also running for St. Charles County Executive, and Mike Elam. And then last, but certainly not least, Bob Onder. We had to put him at the bottom because he and Allison are flying back from D.C. that day. And we just want to make sure they have plenty of time to get there.
I'm sure. Well, just to remind people, it's going to be a Friday, March 21st. So next Friday, there's a VIP reception you can attend. There's still tickets left to the dinner, $75 a person. So that starts about 6:30. But this is always a great time, and it's out at Old Hickory there in St. Charles.
Right, and we have an MC. Nobody's probably ever heard of him, but I think he's employed at 97.1. His name's Mark Cox.
Yeah, I'm proud. Oh,
you got that guy, Debbie?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
We were desperate.
I get
anyway,
it.
And the price was right, so it's perfect, right?
Yeah.
I was available, and I'm happy to do it.
They can go to stcharlesgop.com, go to our website and click on the invitation there, and they can purchase tickets online. Looking forward to seeing you, Mark and Michelle, next Friday night.
Yep.
And hope we got some more patriots that will sign up to attend. I think it's going to be a great event.
Yeah, I hope people can get signed up. And give them the website one more time, Debbie, if you don't mind.
It's stcharlesgop.com.
All right, very good. And we've also got a link up on our website at 971talk.com. There's even like the QR code on there where you can scan it with your phone and go straight to the event site and buy your tickets for that. And
right.
Hopefully we can see everyone out there.
All the VIPs, including Mark, will be at the VIP reception at 5:30, with the exception of the Onders. We don't expect them there.
whenever they jet into town and can get out there, that's great.
Right.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah. Well, Debbie, listen, thank you so much for getting that set up, and we're looking forward to seeing you next Friday.
You too.
All right. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Debbie
McFarland.
Yeah, all right. We'll talk to you soon. She's with the St. Charles County Central Committee, and they work so hard to get that thing put together every year. And I love the fact that they've kind of changed it to, used to be the Lincoln-Reagan dinner, and now they've changed it to the Lincoln-Trump dinner.
Very fitting.
That's right.
I do want to mention, Mark, and Carl was pointing this out, Fox 2 is reporting on breaking news. They're reporting about an officer-involved shooting that happened this morning. It sounds like this is in North St. Louis, the 5500 block of Wells Avenue. The Hamilton Heights neighborhood. There's not much information about it. In fact, all Fox 2 has on the website right now is, and this drives me nuts, the wording of this, because no one would talk like this. It says, records show a call came in for flourishing a weapon at 7:15 a.m.
So it was officer involved, but doesn't involve an officer who was shot, to
it
the best
doesn't,
of my knowledge.
Yeah, it says officers state. Officials rather state no officers are injured.
Yeah.
But I mean, I remember in the newsroom, and you can attest to this, anytime you hear officer involved incident, it's like go, 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 go.
Oh, sure.
Send every person you know.
Right. Because you're just hoping it's not the good guy with the gun that ends up or
gal with the gun that ends up getting hurt. We'll keep an eye on that. I'm sure we'll have details throughout the day here on 97.1 FM Talk. Remember, Brian Kilmeade coming up here. Also, when you go to the website for the Lincoln Trump dinner in St. Charles County, you can find details on Brian's visit. That's the following night. So this is the 21st for the Lincoln Trump dinner on March 22nd. Brian Kilmeade's out at the factory. Tickets are still available. I checked the site this morning. VIP tickets can be purchased as an add-on, and then you get to get there early and hang out with me and Annie and Mark and Brian and just really enjoy the experience of the show. It might sell out, so you may want to get on there today and check it out. There's a link on our website at 971talk.com. Thanks to the folks at the Retirement Advisory Group for sponsoring that, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.
Get more at 971talk.com.